Mizmar David, Adonai mi yigor baha alecha, mi yishkan baha kachecha, holech tamim ufoil tzedek, v'dover emes bilvavo, v'ragal al lishono, l'osa l'reyehu ra'a, chepa lo nosa al kova, nifze b'yenov nimos, v'yasirei Adonai chabeid, Nishbalu harav lo yomir, kaspo lo nasam b'neshech, v'shochad al noki lo lakoch, osa eile lo yumot v'yolam. Mizmor le David Adonai roi, roi echsor, v'nos deshe yarbitzeni al mei menuchos v'nahaleni, nafshi yeshove v'yankeni b'magoi tzedek l'man shemo, gam ki yelech b'gei tzalmoves, Lo ira ra ki ata imadi. Shiftecha o mishantecha heima yenachamuni. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neget zororoi. Dishanto v'ashem en roshi kosi revoya. Ach tov v'chesed yudifuni kol yemei chayoi. Yishafti b'veis adonoi le'yorech yamin. Eishes chayo miyimtza. Rachok mibninim nichra. Botachle ba'alev ba'ala v'shalol ha'yachzor. K'mlasu tov v'lo ro'a kol yimei chayeha. Doro shat semer ufishtim atas v'chefetz kapeha. Ho yisoh ko'niyos v'socher v'imechach tovi lachmo. V'atokam b'yod laylo v'titin terroch l'veso v'lchok l'naroseha. Zomu masoda v'atikocheu y'pri chapeha nota ochorem. Chagura b'yoz masneha v'ata'amet zo'o seho. To'ama kitov sachro v'yichbe b'alaylo neiro. Yodeha shilucho v'akishor v'chapeho tomuch ufolech. Kapa poros olioni v'yodeha shilucho lo evyon. Lo siro lo v'esoh misholeh kikol b'esoh lovush shonim. Mavadi nosus olo sheish v'agomen lovusho. No da basha orim balo b'shiftahum zitnei oretz. Sodi nosa sovatim kor v'chagor nosa no lakana'ani. Oz v'hado levusha v'tishak liyom acharon. Piyo posucho v'chochmo v'sorascheche d'alushona. Sofiyo halichos beiso v'lechem atzlus lo sochel. Komu v'ne'a v'yashruo balo v'yahalo. Rabos bonus also choyo viato lisal kulana. Shekara chayin vehevala yofi. Yisho yiras adenoi hitis halal. Tnu la mi priyo deha vi halaluha vasha orim masela.
The first of the Maspidim, son-in-law Harav Yisrael Gettinger. First, Marichami Harav, with the permission of my revered father-in-law, on behalf of the family, before we begin the words of Hesped, I would like to express our acknowledgement and thanks to all the dear friends who expressed and performed so many acts of kindness during this very trying period of time. We appreciate everything that so many friends did. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant that in the future there will be simcha opportunities for you to show acts of kindness, and we have good suras tovus to share one with another. The Medrash Tanchuma tells us that there were three people who saw the world b'yeshuvan, b'churbanan, and then b'yeshuvan. They saw a world built. They saw a world civilized. They saw the world destroyed. And then they saw it rebuilt once again. The three people were Noach, who of course was around before the Mabul, saw the world in its entirety destroyed, and then was part of the rebuilding of the world. Another person cited by the Medrash Tanchuma is Iyov, whose personal world was so successful and outstanding, and then he suffered a personal tragedy where his world was completely destroyed, and subsequently he regained much of that success. And finally, the Medrash notes that there was Daniel as well. Daniel, who lived during the first Beis HaMikdash and saw the glory with all of the Nisim and the Kedusha of the first Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, and then lived through the destruction in the Golus Bavel, but then was privileged to be present at the time of the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. My beloved and respected mother-in-law also lived through three worlds. She was born yet in Europe, and there are so many and very few of those people who were around before the destruction. But at a relatively young age, she still had the influence of the European shtetl, with all of its strength and all of its commitment, with the poverty, but a lifestyle that reflected true Jewish commitment and a Torah lifestyle. At a very young age, I think on the last boat that left Germany before World War II broke out, she came with her mother and three of her siblings to this country to join with her father, Blazer Levine, Zichrono Livracha, who had preceded the family, and they took up residence in Detroit. Detroit, not to demean that community or any community in the United States, but the situation at that time was that there were no girls' seminaries to attend. There were no Jewish high schools for a girl or to attend. Wasn't even a Jewish high school in the city of Detroit either for a boy to attend. There wasn't even a day school to attend. And in fact, she, along with her siblings, attended a public school. And she became, therefore, a product not so much of the society as a whole, or even the Jewish community society of Detroit, but truly a product of her home. And ultimately, therefore, she lived through that destruction, but was also around to rebuild as well, and made sure that her children had all of the opportunities that she did not have growing up. And she, therefore, merited seeing another world. I feel very inadequate in expressing words of eulogy. For, in fact, I do not in any way, shape, or form consider myself to be the one who would be worthy of passing appropriate judgment about her greatness. But as a son-in-law, I will share with you some of the observations that I had of Rebbetzin Wein. She was a remarkable balabusta in the home. Any of you who have ever been in the Wine home will notice how meticulous everything was, how neat everything was, how everything was perfectly in its place. In the nearly 31 years that I am her son-in-law, I can say I never found a dirty dish in the sink overnight. It's not just that. It's not the dirty dish. She wouldn't go to sleep without making sure it was put away. It's not just that, though. It's a reflection on a commitment. It's a reflection on a Sidur HaDvarim. It's a reflection on the respect for the dignity of a human life, no doubt indoctrinated by her father, Zichrono Livracha, who ultimately probably picked that up from the yeshiva in Pelham. The house on an Erev Shabbos. And that's one of the most remarkable memories that I have, that in spite of the fact that there could be a lot of tumult, in spite of the fact that the Friday could be a very short Friday, Lichtenstein could be very early in New York City, in spite of the fact that it was a busy home, as you can well imagine, with all kinds of tumult going on and things out of the ordinary, there was a serenity that existed in that home that reflected the appreciation of the oncoming of Shabbos. And I don't remember any time when it came, even moments before Lech Benchen, when the house wasn't already peaceful and everything was already in place. She was, of course, a wonderful mother, a wonderful grandmother, and Baruch Hashem also a wonderful great-grandmother. She, in fact, even merited, together with my revered father-in-law, Yibodo L'chaim Tovim Baruchim, to be a kvater at a great-grandson here in Yerushalayim. But she also served not only in the role of being a wonderful mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother for her own direct descendants, but to a certain extent served as a mother and a grandmother for other members in the family as well. Two of her siblings, from our perspective, didn't live long enough. Two of her sisters predeceased her at relatively young ages. And she assumed the role, again, this is a personal perspective of mine, a very loving role of feeling very close to those nephews and nieces and even their children and even grandchildren. And if I may say so, I would think they would all agree with me that they didn't just see her as just being a beloved and cherished aunt, but also in many ways the person who helped fill the loss to some degree of their mother and perhaps was in fact the grandmother that they didn't even know. It is amazing to actually think about that medrash that we just mentioned. The medrash where, in fact, Neil is mentioned as one of those three people. We can well understand Noach being singled out. We can understand even Eve on the personal story. But what was really the greatness of Daniel being there for the second Beis HaMikdash dedication? Was it because he lived that long? Yes, but he's not the only one. There are many others who were there as well. Probably Mordechai was there. He was from the Lishkas HaGazis and therefore was around in the first Beis HaMikdash as well. Why is Daniel singled out? And perhaps what the Medrash means to tell us and to express to us is the need on the part of Jewish people to recognize that they should never become distracted by tragedy. When tragedy takes place, it can be a distraction. People can become depressed, and as such, therefore, they don't find the inner strength within themselves to, in fact, have the commitment to rebuild. The Neil could very easily have become depressed. The Neil could very easily have felt it's good enough what they accomplished in Bavel. And the Sefer Daniel depicts heroic actions on the part of Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of greatness that was achieved by the Jewish people in Bavel. And they could have said, that's enough, but it wasn't. And they still recognized that it wasn't as good as the first Beis HaMikdash. That's described in Sefer Ezra about how the fact that those who remembered the first Beis HaMikdash cried because they remembered a glory that was not present in the second Beis HaMikdash. But if you don't have the same glory, that should not be used as an excuse to not rebuild to the extent that you can. Rebbetzin Wine certainly could have been satisfied if her children would have had by far less. And yet she didn't. She recognized that there were opportunities in their day and age that she didn't have. And she made sure to provide those opportunities for all of them. She was a woman who always called on guests, specifically her grandchildren, to give a Dvar Torah on a Shabbos meal. The grandchildren knew very well that they would be called upon. And if I may say so, even in the presence of my revered father-in-law, it was she, not he, who asked them for the Dvar Torah. It was she who always complimented them on the Dvar Torah, even if it wasn't so good. But they all knew they had to come in prepared. They all knew, therefore, they were going to have to say something, and they all knew, besides the meal, that they would get a wonderful compliment and a supporting, not just glance, but words as well, and appreciation of the Dvar Torah. Many of the grandchildren, Baruch Hashem, have been blessed with beautiful voices, and she would call upon them to sing Zmiris at the Shabbos meal and the Yontif meals. And I would like to just share with you something about the very last conversation that I had with her. I spoke to her shortly before her recent surgery. And she shared with me, she said she has good news. She got a good report that one of the tests that they were doing prior to the surgery gave a positive report that there was nothing genetic about, in fact, a particular condition that they were testing for. I must say, I did not really respond, because all I could think to myself was, what does that really matter? I mean, the surgery is still ahead of you. What difference does it really make if that was a positive or a negative result? I mean, that doesn't really matter. But it's only now in hindsight that I appreciated why she felt that way. She felt that way because it was a relief to her that if she didn't have any such problem, it would not be passed on to anyone else in the family. And that was more important to her than her own personal condition. Her thoughts were with her family, and the very fact that she knew that she didn't have something that might endanger someone else was something that gave her great comfort. She's indeed a person who will be long remembered, and maybe she doesn't pass on any bad traits, but certainly greatness in spiritual genetics she will leave in the hearts of certainly of her descendants and of all those who knew her. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant that she be a Melitz Yosher for, first of all, your brother L'Chaim, my revered father-in-law, Rabbi Warren Schlitter, and also for all of her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, entire extended family, and this entire Kehillah, and all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen. Son-in-law, Harav Yonah, the words. Family of Lore Da'asra, I'm a day school Rebbe, and I've never given Hesped before. I was sitting on the plane in Newark Airport waiting for them to tell us to turn off the cell phones, and my father, may he live and be well, called me and said, speak from the heart, and it's okay if you cry. So that's what I'll do. I was alone with my thoughts on the airplane, and I remember that, as Rabbi Yisrael mentioned, how mommy would ask the sons-in-law and the son and the grandchildren to sing Zmiras. And she always asked me to sing Eishes Chayil when I was there. So I was thinking about that last night on the plane, and the words of Eishes Chayil came to mind. I think the author of Eishes Chayil knew her. Eishes Chayil mi yimtzav rachok mipnini michra batach ba lev ba'ala v'shalo lo yachzar. Batach ba lev ba'ala. Mommy was the woman behind the man. Mommy was the anchor for the family. Mommy's what kept the ship sailing straight. The Wein-Levine family is a family of many very accomplished people. I don't include myself in that. Many very accomplished people. And in a family like that, you need an anchor. You need someone to keep your feet on the ground. You need someone to point you in the right direction. Mommy pointed us all in the right direction. She was a loving wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. She had such nachas from everyone. The last conversation I had with her was the day before the surgery. She called me to tell me what a wonderful son-in-law I was that I let my wife go to Israel to be with her. That's what she was thinking about the day before the surgery. Tell me what a wonderful son-in-law I am. And I'm not. probably many people in this room knew her a lot better than I did. I lived hundreds and then thousands of miles away from her for most of the time that I knew her. And unfortunately, it falls to me to try to encapsulate in a few words the greatness of this woman. Rabbi Yisrael mentioned the hospitality. It was hospitality for family and for strangers. Mommy and Daddy, he should live and be well. But as soon as they came here to live in Yerushalayim, they always sent for grandchildren to be with them. For Yontif, for a few weeks in the summer. And now that the grandchildren are older and are learning in yeshivas in Yerushalayim, or living here, the house was still open to them, and they always brought friends. Lots of friends. And the house was always open for everyone. Pia Paschal b'chachma v'sar s'chesed al Hashona. What was the chachma? What was the sar s'chesed al Hashona? So again, I was trying to encapsulate, trying to describe Mommy's personality. Mommy was a Kelmer. You know, all the stories that we hear in the family, that we hear and we tell about Mommy's father, Elter Zadie Levine, that was Mommy's personality. The Seder, and the fact that she never had a bad word to say about anybody. Mommy was a rock of calm moderation in an extreme world, in a world of extreme. Mommy couldn't understand extremism. She couldn't understand extremes in either direction, because she was always straight as an arrow. But it never angered her. She was puzzled by extremism. She was sometimes even hurt by it. But she was never angry at anyone. I never heard her raise her voice in 25 years. Elokayim tzor l'shoni meira usfasai mitaber mirma. I never heard a word of Lashon Hara from her. Mommy was a Kelmer. Sheker achein v'hevel hayofi isha yiras Hashem tis halal. Mommy had chein and yofi, but she also was an isha yiras Hashem, and she instilled that in her children and her grandchildren. She was a walking Musar Sefer. I apologize for not doing her justice.
Son-in-law Harav Moshe Teitelbaum. We are a week away from Chag Shavuos, from Zman Matan Toraseinu. Torah is not an easy thing to accept. Many nations were offered the Torah, respectfully or not so respectfully declined. Because it's not always so easy. It's a demanding life, meaningful, fulfilling, demanding. Sometimes taxing. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu approach us? How does He offer it to us? First, gently. Kosomar Leves Yaakov. then v'sagei livnei Yisrael. So Chachamenu tell us that the softness is toward the neshot schayel, to the women of Israel. And then tagei, lashon kosha, kegidim, that's for the men. They can take it. They're tough. Tell it to them as it is. But that's not necessarily all that Chazal mean. That's the first approach to give Torah. That means that that's how it is to be done. First, the soft approach. And for many people, that's how you're going to win them. And that's how you're going to cause them to believe. And that's how you're going to bring them into greatness personally. That's how they'll begin to practice. And that's what they will give over to their children and to their grandchildren. Speak softly. Speak lovingly. Endear, not just yourself, all that you represent to the people with whom you speak. Mrs. Wine, my mother-in-law, spoke softly and in encouraging words and in kindness, always to everyone, because she was a messenger of the Rabboni Shalom. Because in every door there are men and women like Moshe Rabbeinu who are sent out to speak to the Jewish people. Something that her father, Blazer Levine Zatzal, heard from the Chafetz Chaim. Gay Ritzidi, talk to the Jewish people. Mrs. Wine, in her life, in her every move, in every tenuah, in every mannerism, spoke words to all of us who were fortunate to know her. Softness, kindness, understanding. How many times we were told and directed or redirected toward a better way with two words. My wife's name is Sarah. And she would come up with an idea or say something or suggest something, express an attitude in two words. Oh, sorry. That was it. We understood exactly what that means. We're done. First thing that my father-in-law, Shalanga Yaron, said when I started to go out and try to be a Marbitz Torah with God's help, so he said to me about my wife, sorry, he said, Kol Mar Shatoma Lotasara Ase. I didn't find the pasuk, but it's in there. Kol Mar Shatoma Lotha Yocheve Ase. Because behind that rov, the wisdom, the smarts, the etiquette, the practical ben adam lachavero, the guidance at every turn, we can say it. Many of us suspect that it's so. How many times you hear, and then you hear, Beryl, you can't say that. And then he says, but I can. And then he doesn't. The wisdom and the way it's given over, the kaisoimar, the rachus, the ahava, the respect, the kavod habal. Oh boy, the gentleman sitting in this room, if you only knew how envious you should be. How envious you should be. When Chazal say, Ein Isha Mesa Elo Lebal, boy, do they understand it in certain cases. But that's the Isha. When it's such an Isha, then it's Elo Lebal. Really, only Lebal. So many people, hundreds of drushes, thousands of, tens of thousands of people inspired, learning, reading all that Rav Wein Shlita is teaching, Baruch Hashem. And will continue with the help of God for so many years. And it's good, he always felt it's important that people give feedback and they liked it and they enjoyed it. And it's encouraging and it moves a person, it propels a person forward to keep on going and to be mechadish more and to work harder. But there was no one whose accolade and no one whose support meant as much. You could have 1,000 people in the room and everybody liked it. Oh, a great drusha, very inspiring, very informative, beautiful. And if Mrs. Wine said, Beryl, that was wonderful. That's who meant everything to him. That's what moved him forward. Biggest fan. The single most important listener. and the single most important voice at the same time. Better than 51 years. And we all learned a tremendous amount. All of us. I'll conclude by telling you what I learned. How to make Pesach Seder. So of course I had beautiful nigunim and a whole nusach from my father, Alav HaShalom, and all the halach yelech of a Seder, but there's something that you have to learn about a Seder. Because the Seder table is busy, and there's people, and there's noise, and there's cups, and there's sauces, and there's murder, and charesis, and there's spilling, and there's this, and everything is all over the place, and there's not enough room, and you put down the Haggadah, and there's the matzah, and you... The first Pesach that Sarah and I were married, a few months after the Chasna, so it's in Pesachim, you go by the Kali, you go by the wife. So we were in Muncie for the Seder, the first kos, Rav Wein made Kiddush, we sat down to the first kos, and the little teller, the little plate on which the kos rests. So Ribbetzin Wein, Mrs. Wein, knocked it, and the entire cup of wine, her first kos, went boom, right on her dress. And all we heard was, oh my. And with the utmost dignity of the greatest lady I have ever known, Mrs. Wein picks up, walks off from the table, and says, excuse me just for a minute. Comes back, sits down, you know, freshly ironed and, you know, beautifully, proper, clean dress, to have kos rishon and to continue the same. No problem, no issue. Certainly no anger, no frustration. A tremendous balas chesed, a tremendous balas midos, a tremendously wise woman, and a giving, kind soul to thousands and thousands of people on these shores here and in America, indeed throughout the world. We have a wedding in Mirtz Hashem. Our oldest son, Mirtz Hashem, will come to the chuppah in about 17 some odd days. If her Avoyin and Mirtz Hashem will be Masada Kedushim for our oldest son. And it meant so much. And what hopes we had, what dreams we had for Binyamin, our son, to have Bubby and Zadie both there together. Sarah and I were talking about, you know, yeah, candles walking down to the chuppah, no candles walking down to the chuppah. And I said yes, Sarah said no. I'm sure it'll be no. And I know why. Because on one hand, she's going to hold Binyamin. Sarah Menucha, the Zohar is for real. When it says that all the Babas and the Zaydas come, if the children are recognizable to their parents and grandparents, if the Doris can see the worthiness of those children getting married, they recognize who invited them. They're all there. So on one side it'll be Binyamin, and on the other hand it'll be Ima. It'll be Mami. She'll really be there. Always will be there. With you, with Daddy, with all of us. Hashem Nosa. Hashem gave something wonderful. Hashem Lokach. Yihi Shem Hashem.
Representing all of the grandchildren, we call on Aharon Gettinger. It was a very difficult task for me to try to give proper divrei hasbid about Bobby Alel Shalom. How is it possible to give adequate divrei hasbid such a great woman in just a few minutes? The task is almost impossible. Not only that, I don't see myself as being fit at all. Not the right person to have this job. But when Zadie presented the idea and asked me to say a few words, he added that Bobby would have wanted you to speak. When he said that, I didn't think twice. I immediately agreed. Bobby, who was Meiser Nefesh on behalf of all the children, on behalf of all the grandchildren, so selfless, did so much for us. From the day we were born, the least we could do was try to say, give a little kavod right before the Purim. It's a means of hakaras hatov for all that she did. I was also, when I think of Bobby, I also think of what came to my mind was similar to Uncle Yona's thoughts, Eishes Chayil. I think we would all agree that she really was Eishes Chayil. And the pasuk in Eishes Chayil that caught my attention was Ois Nun. Noyga b'sha'arin b'alo b'shifta yimzik ne'aretz. Sukkim are describing what the Eishes Chayil does to merit that special title of being Eishes Chayil. And all of a sudden the pasuk says her husband is well known, b'sha'arin, in the gates, well known throughout the city, throughout the world perhaps, b'shifta yimzik ne'aretz, as he sits among the elders of the land. What does this have to do with the Eishes Chayil? How is this a praise to her? The Malbim explains that it's because of her commitment to Torah. She's mechazik yodai b'Torah. She does everything she can to support him, to encourage him as he grows higher and higher until he's yeshiv in zikne yoretz, which means he becomes part of the Sanhedrin. Of course, this is a beautiful description of really what Bobby was all about. Zaydi b'Lokayim Toivim v'Aruchim, of course, is well known across the world. But it takes a Bobby to support him, to encourage him, to help him grow to what and accomplish all the things that he has done and still does. A lot of people would often comment to us, all the grandchildren, how amazed we should be of our grandfather. He travels around the world, exhausting trips, 8 cities in 10 days, lecturing, speaking, being Mabitsayer, Avodas HaKodesh. What always came to my mind was that we should have equal admiration for Bobby, who stays behind at home sometimes, not always able to make the trip with him. And she not only never complained about it, but quite the contrary, she was always encouraging, supportive. She took such pride in all of Zaydi's Avodas HaKodesh. And not only that, she would always tell the grandchildren, you have to learn from your Zaydi. And there was so much we could really learn from her herself, by her example, by everything she did, but she would never even hint to this, never even allude to it. She only told us, learn from your Zaydi. I remember she would constantly tell us, look at your Zaydi. He finishes one book, and the very same day he starts the next one. Doesn't take any breaks, no vacations. This was Bobby, seeing the good in Zaydi, and really in everyone. She had such an ayin toiva, seeing the good, the positive, in everyone, in all situations, in all people. Chazal say, Ezo Yishak Sheira Ha'isa Ritzoyim Vailam. Who is the Yishak Sheira? This is somebody who does the will of her husband. This is Bobby. She was always behind Zaydi, always went with him wherever he went. And even if it would mean to be a tremendous adjustment for her, such as moving from America to Yerushalayim, it was not easy at all. Nonetheless, she went along with him because she knew that was what was best for Zaydi. As was previously mentioned, Bobby wasn't just our mother, our grandmother. She was the mother to all of her nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews as well. And Bobby had a special thing, special quality to her, that she was very in tune in picking up on the talents of each individual grandchild. And she would point them out to them and say, look, you're blessed with such and such a gift, such and such a talent. Do something with it. Rise to your potential. Although Bobby was so involved with so many community matters, so many chesed projects, Nonetheless, family was her number one priority. Never, never did anyone feel like Bobby didn't have time for her family. She was always there, she was always supportive, she was always encouraging. It's difficult to imagine what the family will look like without Bobby leading us, encouraging us. But we're thankful for the matana that we had for so many years. Bobby also taught us, led by example. Everything she did was always, she was always calm, so always complacent, always jolly, always happy. Such simchas achayim, such midas tevas, such fame, such charm. Bobby opened up her house to all the grandchildren. There was no such thing as a bad week. Never were we told that we could not come for Shabbos, no matter what happened that week, unless they were, of course, out of town. Personally, I was zeichet to learn so many years in Eretz Yisrael, even before the Chasana. Bobby and Zadie made their house, their home away from home. And they always inquired about everything. Nothing was too insignificant. The food, the dira, everything. Everything mattered. Everything was important. And she tried to do as much as she could to help others, because that's the way she lived her whole life. She was completely selfless. Did not care about herself. Only cared how she could help others. Later on, in the parak in Eish Hashanah, the pasuk says, "Oiz v'hadol l'husha v'tishchak l'yom acharon." That the Eish Hashanah rejoices on the yom acharon. What's this yom acharon? Rashi explains yom acharon is, of course, the yom hamisa, when the Eish Hashanah goes on to the next world, and she rejoices. The pasuk says, "V'tishchak." What is her joy? Rashi explains that since she receives such kavod on the yom hamisa, that she is able to depart this world with a shame tov. That's why she is Batista. This is Bobby. Everyone came, many people came from far, from America, even, to give her the last kavod. And because that's the one quality that everyone would agree she had, she was for sure Aisha Schayel, Aisha Ksheira, Aisha Ritzayim Baila, and she had a Shem Tayyum. A perfect reputation. With Bobby's Petira, the family is suffering a tremendous loss. Akash Baruch Hu grant that we should see the card of the king of the Pasuk of Gilam, Abbas and Nesach, and Mocha Hashem, and the kingdom of Yaakov.